Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Glad to be back with all of you. It's December 17th. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, but I'm not alone because it's that time for Steve Duncanson and Paradigm Shifters.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Aurelia.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. And everyone, welcome to the last show for the year of Paradigm Shifters, Principles for Life and Success. It's almost weird saying that, like last show of the year. Is it me or does it seem like this year went by very fast? What's the difference?
It went by swiftly, yes.
Absolutely unbelievable, and we all know that adage about time, right? It's our most precious commodity. We're not getting any more of it, and so we have to make the best use of it. And also, more mature we get, right? You know, it seems to go by that much more quickly. But I think also that with wisdom also comes the appreciation for that time, and at the end of this year, it's always reflection. Right? Reflection on what has gone. And so what I'm hoping that we can do today is just spark in our thinking some ideas and thoughts of what we can do to make this coming year of 2012. 2012, it's amazing. I remember when I started my career in the police department, sitting in the classroom and early on in the training as a recruit. And the instructor said, this is going to be the fastest 20 years of your life, because my retirement year was 2001. And I remember saying to myself, is this guy kidding me? Because this 6 months in the academy is taking forever, right? But the 20 years that go by, this would be 31 years from that period of time. And it goes by quickly. And so all too often in life, we end up spending time rather than investing time.
And so
the spending time is something that we don't have as much return from as the investment of time, because that's wise. It's the wise use of the time that we've got. Right? Earlier on in my life, one of my former mentors shared with me a principle called the principle of entering and leaving. And I think we may have even talked about this once before, but it's always great to be reminded of at the beginning of the year. The principle of entering and leaving, and that is, however you leave determines how you enter. All right? So however you leave one year impacts how you enter into the next year. You can even make it as, physically, just dealing with the basic physiological or the physics of it. You leave one room, you enter another room based on how you left the last room, right? And so the principle of entering and leaving is critically, critically important. We want to, again, be intentional with regard to how we leave 2011 into 2012 so that we can get the best results in our life, because that's really what life is about, getting ultimate results. But, what we want to, and here's the irony, right? A result is going to happen no matter what. Now, is it the result that you wanted? That's another story, right? Because we're always getting results, just like we're always getting feedback, right? Whether we acknowledge what the feedback is or getting the results that we want, that's the point of adjustment there, to be able to get the results that we want, not just results that happen. And so that necessitates intentionality. And oftentimes we hear people, this New Year's, they look to finish the statement, people look to set New Year's
resolutions.
New Year's resolutions, right? And by the first week or second week, those resolutions are oftentimes forgotten. I was watching. It used to be Regis and Kelly. Now it's just Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Regis is retired. And she was saying that she does not go to the gym in January. From January 1st to the first week of February, she doesn't go to the gym because it's always crowded, it's packed out, and she can't get on the treadmill that she wants to get on. Right? Because so many people invariably set a resolution to be more healthy, lose weight, whatever. They set that resolution. And so I think one of the things that even in our discussion on Sidebar, you and I talked about really understanding the difference between a resolution and a goal. Because of what a resolution is, even if we look at the word from its root, to resolve, resolute, resolution, right? That essentially means that you made a decision, right? To come to a firm decision about something, to determine. And so if someone simply says that, you know what, this year I'm going to eat better or I'm going to read more, that's simply a statement of desire that doesn't necessarily translate into a commitment to action. And so though setting resolutions is good, making, I should say, a resolution is good, setting and following through on goals is the thing that's critically important. And again, I've shared many, many times the acronym for goals, right? Guaranteed to obtain an amazing life of success. When you set goals, you are guaranteed to obtain an amazing life of success. Because goals bespeak what you need to do to ensure that you achieve or reach your resolution, right? That you accomplish whatever that resolution is. And so it's the steps that need to be taken to hit that thing. And unless we are clear on what those steps are and then have a plan of action, of approach to those goals, then the resolution won't be able to be hit. It's the stairway that leads to the destination that we want to get to. And so the hope for all of our listeners is that we would make that distinction in our mind and follow through on some of the things that need to happen for that to be the case. Certainly, from the outset, you got to determine what you want, right? So, the five questions that we always talk about. But so, what am I resolving to do? What do I ultimately want to be able to accomplish? And I also want to encourage those of you that are listening to not get caught up in trying to create some sort of complex scheme or plan for fulfillment, right? Because the more complicated your plan is, the less likely you will do it. Am I making any sense?
Oh, boy, yes.
Right? If you put in like 20, 30 steps and you got to do this and this and that, and I want all the, you can pretty much forget about it. You might be stating something that you're interested in, but your psychology is not going to allow you to set up the structure to follow through on those things. It's too complicated. All right, Einstein, right? Every complexity has its origin in simplicity. And so we want to determine, quite simply, what we want to be able to do, a structure we can set up so that we can achieve the things that we want. And so when I think about the simplistic aspect in his book, Eat That Frog, I know we talked about that. I don't know if it was last year. It might have been even the year before. This is a sidebar here, parenthetical. How many years have we been doing this program now?
This is our second year. Me and you, we've been together for 3 years.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. Because it seemed like a long time, right? Some of the stuff I remember mentioning at some point or another and resources that I'd recommended to you and to our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But in that book, Eat That Frog, Brian Tracy talked about the law of three, applying the law of three. And when we look at this aspect of simplicity, I think three is something that even in I've been you know, I haven't studied in psychology. I don't remember which principles are associated with specifically, but there's something about the number three that causes us to be able to stick in our minds. You know, we easily count one, two, three. When there's steps to do something, it's one, two, three. The first three numbers, the area code and the first three numbers on the phone are three numbers. It's just something about three, right? And so applying the law of three is important. And so essentially, as Roosevelt said, you know, do what you can with what you have where you are. It's stated out in threes. But I think that the statement itself, even do what you can with what you have where you are, speaks to the simplistic approach to not only to resolution making, goal setting, but also goal achieving, which is really what we want to be able to do, right? We don't want to simply have just made a resolution or set a goal. We want to be able to achieve that goal. And the likelihood becomes greater that that goal will be achieved if you have simple steps towards doing it. And so in that vein, all I'd like to offer is just some that we ask ourselves a simplistic question for the various areas and aspects of our life that we want to be able to have achieved a goal, the goal that we want to be able to achieve. See, the overall we might express is we want to be healthy or resolved to take, you know, specific action. But what are some of the overall categories that we should be focusing in on? And so the rule of three, and, right? So What are the three most important blanks? Right, and matter of fact, let's just go through. So, what are the three most important business or career goals right now? What are your three most important family or relationship goals right now? What are your three most important financial goals right now? Three most important health goals. Three most important personal development goals. Social and community goals. And being able to have something for each one of those areas. Because if we take the time to reflect, and then the encouragement is that we take the time to reflect on what has been. And when I say take the time, I don't mean just mean you'll sit at your desk or in your room for like 5 minutes. I mean really carve out just a moment of time, I mean maybe an hour or so, where you just simply focused on where do I want to be through the year 2012. What do I want to have accomplished? And so what were the lessons that I learned from last year that I can carry and that will serve me in good stead this year? And so draw the connection between those. And focusing that forward on the various areas I talked about, business, career, family, relationship, financial, health, personal development, social, and community, each of those areas. And simplistically, for starting your structure out, what are the three most important? I think being able to be clear on what that is for every individual will then begin that process of now breaking down in each one of those areas, what goals do you want to set in each of those? Is this making sense?
Yes.
Right? Being able to have that level of clarity is what lends themselves oneself towards the process of beginning to achieve those things.
So, Steve, so what you're saying is, okay, you have to, let me make sure I'm right, because I'm going to be, you know, implementing this in my own life. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have, but it's good to have a resolution.
Yes, sure.
Okay, but the coupling of the resolution with a goal and action plan are extremely important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, with all of that, your action plan should be detailed enough to incorporate all aspects of your life, but not so detailed that it's complex and complicated.
Right. Exactly. Yes. There you go. That's a great recap. Oh, thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm just saying, I just want to make sure, because I got to get this right, you know?
Yeah, no doubt, I'm with you. I'm certainly with you, and you certainly have captured it well, you know, because if we simply, on New Year's Day, set that resolution, that's like sitting in your chair and saying, you know what, I'm going to get up. That's what a resolution is like. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm absolutely going to get up, guaranteed, and still sit in your seat. And you're going to get up, and you're going to go where, and then what steps you're going to take, and what are the things that you need to take with you, and what are some of the contributing factors? I mean, you need all these things to be able to ultimately achieve, right?
Yeah.
And so the reality is that we want to set ourselves up for success, not for failure. And the way to set ourselves up for success is to have a fully coordinated plan of action. Now, having set the goals, which is a target, and have a plan of action to achieve.
Okay, yes. Now, when you said that you can have a resolution and a goal, and you said you want to get up, but you can get up and stand still and not do anything and go anywhere.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Which is why the resolution is not enough. Even if you say, I'm resolved to work out 3 days a week. You have to then determine what are the 3 days, what are the hours, where are you going to go, what workout are you going to do, cardio, or are you going to do weights? So all these things have to then be put into motion in order to goal achieve and not just goal set, or to make a statement of affirmation of a desire. And so... unless it's broken down into bite-sized, actionable, right-now steps, right-now actions, then it won't be achieved. But you do, again, start with the big bucket of, what do you want? What do you want? Else we want?
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you believe in Plan A and Plan B?
Well, the aphorism is that we should be plan B dexterous, right? That's just ambidextrous. Plan B dexterous. But here's the deal. So if you don't have plan A, forget about plan B,
okay.
Right? Plan B will be somebody else's plan for you. And as Jim Rohn says, what do other people have planned for you? Not much. So you have to have a solid plan A for yourself. The plan B, something, I'm talking this through. How would you define a plan B? What is a plan B? And that is something that you actually, I'm sorry, let me not answer the question for you. What's a plan B in your thinking?
My thinking is a contingency plan. Just like if we take the whole scenario with the working out. Okay, plan A, excuse me, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Okay, plan B for me would be, if I can't make it to the gym, what other things can I do, like indoors, that will enable me to accomplish my goal regardless of the fact that I can't make it to the gym? That would just be my plan B. It doesn't deviate from my plan A. It's just like the what-if factor for my plan A.
In that context, I wouldn't necessarily recommend having a plan to creating a plan B, because it's you're divided in your mind, right? You're not focused on one thing. And the Chinese proverb says, if you chase two rabbits, both will get away. To have two visions is what die vision is all about. You have to have one. You have to have a central. You have to have the central goal. And so let's say that your goal is to and your commitment action plan is for getting up and going to the gym 3 days a week, as you mentioned, and one day you get up and you can't possibly get to the gym, just a snowstorm, you can't get out. You don't need to have created a plan B to still say, I'm going to take action anyway based on where I am. You don't need a plan B for that. You simply need a commitment to what your plan A was, and that is, I'm working out. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
Right? You don't need to have sat down and created something Second, because just the way the mind works, you know, and human nature, we take the path of least resistance. It's the law of expedience, right? And so you give yourself an out if you say, well, if I can't do this, then I'll just do that. And that's part of your plan. The plan B in this context reveals itself as in commitment, the actions of commitment to achieve plan A. Plan B simply reveals itself as action steps of commitment to achieve plan A.
Mm-hmm.
Plan A is the unequivocal goal. That's the focus. That's the target. That's what we're going to do. Given the level of energy towards that, what will naturally spill out is, I'm not going to allow myself to sit in this house and not do anything, even though the gym is closed or there's a snowstorm outside. I'm going to do something. That becomes the plan B.
Okay, now, so basically, I'm going to make sure I'm getting this right. You're saying that there should be no plan B, just a very well-crafted action plan.
Yep, plan A. Plan B will happen based on one's commitment.
Okay.
You know, it's like somebody's in a marriage, okay? And you know, I am not the relationship expert. That's not my. All right. Okay. All right. Cool. So, do you go into the marriage with a plan B, or you go in with your plan A?
Okay.
Plan B doesn't lend itself to any sort of real commitment or conviction. Right? A plan B is like, that's the difference between a preference and a conviction, right? So when you have a conviction, you're totally sold out on the plan A. Now, the reality is stuff happens in life, blah, 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 and you may fall short of, but that short of wasn't your target. Your target always has to be plan A. And plan B will come as a result of the action steps that you take, given what your plan A is, and if you ever try to be determined of it. You know, plan B is like, if this marriage don't work, I know I can always get a second one. Things like, and again, so I'm no multimillionaire by any stretch of the imagination, so I would imagine that there might be some good logical, solid arguments and reasons for prenuptial agreement, right? Okay, so I don't decry that. It is, I'll begrudge anybody that. I'm just saying that if I'm going into a relationship with somebody and I'm signing a prenuptial agreement, and again, I recognize that the variables and the things that happen, blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is that it bespeaks plan B. I mean, am I making any sense, right? Like I said, there are other variables, right? So I'm not saying that, you should never do a prenup. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that there's a difference when someone says, we're getting married, I'm committed to you, you're committed to me for life, and that's it, right? And then the other dynamic of, well, just in case this ain't it, here's what we got going.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know some of our callers may be in that position where they have signed or even asked someone to sign a prenup, and I'm sure there may be reasons, and so I'm not demonizing it, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simply expressing that it does have a connotation that a plan B has been put in place.
And it's in the back of your head.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And so your subconscious will allow that as an option. So
you're pretty much saying that plan B is the escape clause, so to speak.
It could be a psychological escape clause.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your subconscious letting your conscious off the hook. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Or your conscious letting your subconscious off the hook, which is how I would be, right? And that's all right. Yeah, I know you're going to do this, but hey, you can do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you the lesser. And what we don't want is the lesser. We want the maximum. And the maximum is, here is what my plan A is. If plan B comes about, hey, I'll deal with it when it comes. If the gym's not open, I'll deal with that when it comes. But what I do know is that when that does come, whether I am really and truly committed to my goal is going to reveal itself, because it's going to be the actions that I take at that point. And I mean, in that instance, that's what you do.
Okay, so, I got it. Yeah.
I definitely would focus on one thing. Again, the law of focus, you know, any whatever we focus on magnifies itself. It becomes larger. And whatever you focus on, you hit. So the recommendation is that you focus on plan A. Plan B, and again, we all think in context here, right, with regard to goal setting. Right, because I don't want to, you know, make that everything across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But as it relates to achieving your goals, you need to have a plan A and focus only on that plan A. Along the way, you adjust based on moving forward. There may be some, you know, invariably, but here's the deal. You can't adjust a plan you don't have, right? So you have to have a plan to begin with. Inherent in it is going to be some additional things. But what we want to make sure that we're always focused on and geared toward is what are the specific actions that I can commit myself to. And that law of three thing, again, is important. So, you know, what are your three most important okay, which would determine having that clear in your mind what's the most important thing, so what your values are in a particular area, right, what you value most.
Mm-hmm.
The three most important: business, family, financial, health, personal, social goals. What are they? And then once you know what those things are, what do you want to be able to accomplish, and where do you want to be after a period of time? So that's simply, you know, the thoughts that I have in moving forward. Once again, whether it be Brian Tracy or David Allen, and David Allen I would definitely recommend. He's got great programs out there on time management and goal setting, and he even gives programs and plans of structure. Franklin Covey produces a planner and a goal setting program. And there are many things out there that one can do and to tap into as tools for achieving in these areas. Point simply is, we want to make sure that we have one and that we engage it, because otherwise, here's what we know: 2012 will come and go. Will it have come and gone in a way that we wanted it to? Right? Will we have achieved the things that we wanted? And we have to make that decision today, not later, because life will happen no matter what. But we want to ensure ultimately that we get the things that we want by contributing to the things that we get in life, by the actions that we take day to day. I know the slogan for the company, framing your tomorrow when?
Today.
Today. You know, what you do today determines where you're going to be tomorrow. The thing you have the greatest control over is the right now moment. You don't have control over the goal of what's going to happen in month 8, right? That's where you have the least amount of control. You have the greatest amount of control of what happens in the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
And so this is where, you know, that we really need to be able to be focused for this year. That'll make 2012 the best year ever. And that's my hope and desire for each and every one of you. Aurelia, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on this program and to share some of these thoughts with our listeners. Listeners, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. It's once a month on Saturday mornings to be with us, and I hope, and as I say all the time, that you get value out of this time, because I want to make sure that it was, again, invested, not simply spent, that you see both Aurelia and myself as individuals who are champions for you and a resource to be able to achieve the goals that you have in life. And we look forward to 2012 with you. So with that, I know we're pretty much at the end of our time together. I just wanted to wish you, Aurelia, you and your family, very merry Christmas, happy and healthy New Year, and to everyone listening, season greetings. God bless you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much. It has been a wonderful year with you, and we will be back together again next year, and I wish you and your family complete and total blessings of prosperity and happiness for the new year as well. To all of my listeners, have a wonderful, safe holiday season, and we'll be back with you again next year. We would like to thank you for your continued support. So we'll be listening for you soon in the coming year. Be well.
Paradigm Shifters.
Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.